Hello, beloved. This is our seventh. No, not ninth. This is our seventh part on deception, or seventh study on deception. Also, our last, where we're going to look at deception, and specifically what Scripture says about believers and deception. So, before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your loving kindness towards us. Thank you, Father, that we have your word that we can study. I pray that you will open up your word to us, please. Enable me to teach your people, your children, Father, so that we may all be edified and that your name may be glorified in and through our lives. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. Now, the first thing that we can say about believers and what the Scripture says about believers and deception is that believers should flee from deception. They should flee from deceit. How can I say? In a certain sense, we should say to one another that deception should not be part of the life of a believer. We read in Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, specifically verse 3, that speaks about who may descend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in the holy place. You know that passage of Scripture. Then verse 4 says, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." Now basically, deceit is to mislead by distorting the truth, you remember, or to withhold the truth. That's basically what deceit is. So if somebody wants to stand in the presence of the Almighty God, they should not have deceit in their lives, in their hearts, coming from their lips. Or when they swear, now it says, who has not sworn deceitfully, speaking about the fact that those who want to ascend onto the hill of the Lord, or those who want to like to stay or stand in his holy place, those who want to be in his presence, they must not sworn in a way where they mislead people by distorting the truth or withholding the truth. All right? They should not be involved in idolatry. Okay? They should have a pure heart and clean hands. Now, in New Testament context, obviously, it basically boils down to somebody has to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to have the righteousness of Christ in us. And when we have the righteousness of Christ, obviously that's going to flow out, through our lives. So we're going to be different people. We don't want to deceive others. Not because it's a law, but because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us and we don't want to do that. We want to be in the presence of the Lord. When we go to the throne room of God's grace, we want to go there with boldness to speak to the Almighty God. And there we need to have clean hands, which means our hands need to be clean. We have to have a pure heart, cleansed of sin. We need to not look at idols and worship idols in any way, but only worship the Almighty God. And then we should not swear in a way where we distort the truth or withhold the truth or we mislead people. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 13 speaks about the remnant of Israel, that they should do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, and they should not have a deceitful tongue. It should not be found in their mouths. You see, the same thing, if it applies to Israel, why will it not apply to us as New Testament believers? We should not have deceit in our mouth. Deceitfulness should not come from our tongue. We should not distort the truth. We should not withhold the truth from anyone. We should not mislead others. We should not speak lies. And then in Revelation chapter 14, verse 5, speaking about the 144,000, you know, that the Father's name is written on their foreheads, the 144,000 that Revelation is speaking about, verse 5 says, "And in their mouths was found no deceit." It just speaks about holiness. It just speaks about hating those things that God hates. All right. And then it says, "For they are without fault before the throne of God." You see, in their mouths are found no deceit. They don't distort the truth. They don't withhold the truth. But they speak the truth in love. Because they love the truth. They love to live in the truth. They They don't love deception. They don't like deception. They don't want to be deceitful. All right, that's the first thing about, basically about the believers and deceit, is that deceit should not be found among believers. That's it. But then again, I mean, when we talk about believers and that it should not be found among them, we are purposed not to be deceitful. That's what God wants. I mean, Job says in Job 27 verse 4, he says, "My lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." And that is Job saying very clearly, that's not going to be found in me. My tongue will not utter deceit, because that's not the way it's supposed to be among believers. My lips will not speak wickedness. Okay, because it's very, very important for us to understand that. All right. So we will, how can I say, we will not be deceitful. But what we also do is we avoid deception. That's what believers does. We avoid it because we don't want part of it. Once again, if we go to Job chapter 31 and verse 5 and 6, we see Job saying, "If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my integrity." Job was so convinced of the fact that he did not walk in deceit, that he didn't like deception, that he said, "Let me be weighed. Test me. See if it's true that I have been living and walking in deceit." All right? Or that I've walked with falsehood on my lips. No. Job avoided it at all costs because he knew it was important that his life would not reflect deception in any way. All right? Another thing about believers and deception is that believers basically shun those who are addicted to deceit. Because you get people that love deception. You're around every corner, they will be deceptive. So what happens with believers is they get to the point where they say, "Listen, we're not going to associate with you. We're not going to associate with people who mislead by distorting the truth. We're not going to associate with people who withhold the truth. We're not going to associate with people who speak lies." We read in Psalm 101 verse 7, that he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. This is the psalmist saying very clearly. I don't want anybody close to me that works deceit, that is involved in deception. He doesn't want that person close to him. He doesn't want that person part of his life. Because people who deceive, beloved, they don't have a love for the truth. In fact, I wonder if they live in reality. I think they have a problem. I believe that people who are deceitful all the time, they are compulsive liars. Why would you love to have a relationship with a compulsive liar? You cannot believe what they say. Because they whenever they speak, deception comes over their lips. But then again, when we talk about believers and deception, one of the things that believers do is they pray for those who are deceitful to be delivered from their deceit. So I think we have this responsibility to pray for those who are deceptive, to pray for those who are living in a lie, those who are distorting the truth, those who are withholding the truth. I believe that we need to pray for them. A good example is Psalm 48 verse 1, where the psalmist says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." So he's praying for himself that he will be delivered from a deceitful person, because he doesn't want to be part of someone that's deceptive. "Lord, please deliver me from this deception of other people." Obviously, we pray for those who are deceitful as well, because we would like them to walk in the truth. We would like them to follow the truth, to live in the truth. That's what we would love to see happen. So we pray for those who are living in deceit. But we ourselves, believers, they pray to be delivered from those who are deceitful. In Psalm 120 verse 2 we read, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." There's this prayer of the psalmist, please, Lord, deliver me. Because I don't want to be among people. I don't want to be among those who are deceitful. Because deceivers can destroy people's lives. But then, another thing about believers and deceit, or believers and those who are deceitful. When we talk about believers, believers are actually delivered from those who deceive others. It's as if God does it. And it's interesting who God will sometimes use. In the case of David, when he speaks about Solomon, he says in Psalm 72 verse 14, he says, he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. And he's speaking about Solomon here. So Solomon will be an instrument in God's hands to redeem the people of Israel from deceit and violence. And precious shall their blood be in his sight. So God will use the king. He will use King Solomon to deliver, now, or redeem, as the passage says, to redeem the souls of the people from deceit and violence. You see, Solomon, this is what he should be like as a king. But when we look at Jesus, it's not what he should be like. It is what Jesus is like. He is the one who delivers us from deceitful people. We pray, Lord, please deliver me from these deceitful people. And then God does it. Christ does it. And that's the wonderful, amazing thing. But God uses people sometimes. We would think, oh, how will the Lord do it? Then the Lord will use our spouse, or the Lord will use a friend, or the Lord will use somebody in the church, another believer maybe, to basically help us to become free from somebody that is full of deceit. Now, beloved, when we talk about believers and deceit, I believe that believers should be very aware of those who teach deceit. Specifically those who teach deceit, because people who teach deceit, these false teachers, these false apostles, these false prophets, they can destroy a church. So we need to be very, very aware of these people who teach deceit. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6 tells us, let no man deceive you with empty vain words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7 says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. So, clearly, the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesian church, do not let anyone deceive you with all kinds of words, nah? Because the wrath of God is going to come upon them. So what should believers do? We should be aware of false teachers. We should be aware of false prophets and false apostles. We should be aware of those who teach deceit. All right, and there's this call of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian believers. He says, let no man deceive you. Watch out for these people. Beware of them. Colossians 2 verse 8, we read, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit. Beware. Not just do not let any person deceive you, but beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the word and of this world, and not according to Christ. So we need to be aware of people who teach deceit. Be on your guard, beloved. Because at the end of the day, it is very destructive to be under the teaching of someone who is a deceiver. All right, we've spoken about this before in other Bible studies as well, but it's just a reminder. But then when we talk about believers and deception, I believe that believers should lay aside all or any kind of... Let me touch on this one first. Believers should lay aside deceit and rather seek the truth. Believers should lay aside deceit and rather seek the truth. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter speaks about the fact that we have been born again, nah, by the word of truth. And because God's word basically endureth forever, that's why we should lay aside deceit and rather seek the truth. He says in 1 Peter 2 verse 1, therefore, and why does he say therefore? Therefore, because we have been born again by the word of truth, because God's word endures forever, therefore, because of that, lay aside all malice, lay aside all deceit, lay aside all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking, but rather desire the milk of the word like little babies. So we should lay aside all deceit and rather seek the truth, rather seek the word of God, because remember Jesus said, thy word is truth, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. So what we need to desire is to have the milk of the word like little babies. We should desire to know more and more and more about the word, to know the truth and to speak the truth. That's what we should do. And we should lay aside all deceit, all misleading by distorting the truth or withholding the truth from people. Rather, we should learn the truth and speak the truth in love. But then, when we speak about ministers of the gospel, ministers of the word, pastors and elders and people in leadership positions who teach us others, what they should do is they should also lay aside all or any form of deceit. Not just seek after the truth and lay aside deceit, but they should lay it aside altogether, all forms of deceit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul speaks about the fact that we have this ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation that we are reconciled with God now. Verse 2 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Oh, beloved, don't distort the word of God with lies. Don't distort the word of God by not speaking the truth. Don't withhold the truth from people. No. The Apostle Paul is so clear to the Corinthian believers. Do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. This is what the Apostle Paul did. I mean, he's a minister of the word, and he would not handle the word of God deceitfully. He would not handle the word of God and then go in and distort the word of God, or withhold the word of God from people, or twist the word of God and speak half-truths. He would not do that. He says, but by manifestation of the truth, which means making the truth known, he says, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's how confident Paul was, because he would lay aside all kind of deceit. He would not have anything to do with deceit, because he wanted to stick to the truth of God's word in all things. Beloved, and that's what we should be doing. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, this is where Paul speaks. This is now after suffering at Philippi and having to speak the gospel, being under a lot of conflict and experiencing a lot of conflict, Paul said to the Thessalonian believers that our exhortation, now that is basically his call for them to embrace the gospel, did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. The Apostle Paul did not bring the gospel in such a way that it was deceitful, that it was a distortion of the truth, that it was withholding the truth. No. What he did was, he came with his exhortation of them to embrace the gospel. It came without error, without cleanness, without deceit, because Paul wanted the people really to be saved. That was his desire. That's what he wanted to see. He wanted people to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Oh, beloved, and may that be true in our lives. Believers, make sure that you run away from deception, that you appear from it, that you are not involved in deception in any way. Because deception is so, so destructive. Rather expose deception, speak the truth in love, so that at the end of the day, people can be edified. People can be built up in the truth of God's word, because God's word is the truth. Right, stay away from deception at all costs. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. And thank you that we can learn what the relationship between us as believers and deception should be. Enable us, Father, to live in accordance to your word, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right, so I hope and pray that the Lord will bless you, that He will keep you, that His face will shine upon you, and that He will give you His peace. And thank you so much for listening. May the Lord be with us, and God willing, may we meet again next time, all because of His grace. So until next time, God willing, bye-bye.